We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
IB Nation, welcome back to the Irish Breakdown Podcast, live on a Friday for Friday Free-for-All Mailbag, a little blast from the past, a little bit of programming maneuvering this week, obviously with Pot of Gold this past Sunday at St. Patrick's Day. Monday was the Notre Dame recruiting hour. Make sure you go back and check out that show. We actually had a surprise interview with Mr. Dylan Faison, who we kind of didn't really know that he was committed at the time, but then he ended up that he committed that day.
Well, it was funny, Ryan, during that, because I was not watching at the time, and I was getting ready to start kind of getting caught up on it, and Ryan texts me, he goes, I think Dylan Faison just committed on the show. And I was like, wait, what? I went back and listened. He was like, I'm excited to be part of the program. I was like, yep, pretty much. I mean, he kind of just did it. And then, of course, we held off on talking about that till he made his decision. But, yeah, that was pretty fun. But, yeah, so it made the switch. That alone made the switch from Monday to Friday to completely worth it, Ryan. Completely worth it.
Yeah. Could you imagine if we did not do the recruiting hour on Monday? That would have been a really fun, because we would have still been live when he was making his commitment and everything. That would have been a little bit of a funky situation. But yeah.
Correct.
So it all worked out. Correct. But we are here, folks, to dive into your questions. This is the show of the week where you're able to drive the conversation, ask any question you want. It can go from Notre Dame perspective, obviously, but we can talk some college football, talk some NFL, talk some draft prospects, talk pretty much anything you want. So you drive the conversation. Right. When you throw a question in the mailbag, make sure you put the word mailbag or an MB before the question so that we can distinguish what is a mailbag question or is what is just general conversation that you all are having in the chat. So without further ado, we're ready to get into this show because we have a lot of great questions even before the show began today.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, Ryan, we got 58 right now that we've got starred before the show started. So definitely wanted to have some Audric Estime questions to kick things off with, Ryan, and spend a little bit of time talking about what we saw from Audric yesterday. You know, Sean and I did a pro day preview on Wednesday. Didn't do a show yesterday because Ryan will tell you I had a very crazy business day yesterday that's still even crazier now today. People on the message board kind of know what's going on. We'll have more on it later, but everything's rocking and rolling, so we're good to go. So Audric had a pro day yesterday, and he had a huge opportunity. You know, one of the comments I said, you know, it's not often that you see a guy shave over a full 10th of a second off of his 40 time, you know, but how important was it for Audric to improve? You know, could he get down to 4.65? Could he get down to 4.6? Well, he did even better than that, Ryan. He did shave over a full 10th, actually, basically 0.13 off of his official 40 time on Saturday. And as we had some questions about that down here, obviously we had people making comments about Audric, and let me find one of the questions from Lucky Duck says, why do you think Audric's 40 time was so different from the combine to pro day? We had another question that I'll look for here. Dude, Audric looked blazing fast yesterday during his 40. I couldn't believe it. So Ryan, yeah, Let's kind of kick things off just talking about yesterday's performance from Audric, because I think the focus is on the 40, but Audric had a very impressive day yesterday beyond just the improved 40-yard dash. So let's kind of start with that first question, which was, where is it? What was that question? Let me find it here. I just had it. And, oh, why do you think Audric's 40 time was different? 4.71 to 4.58, right? And as you said at the time and yesterday, he looked different. Not just the time, but he looked different running it. So why don't you go ahead and dive into that a little bit, Ryan?
I mean, the biggest difference was the start. I mean, I thought he got out of the blocks at the pro day a whole lot better than he did at the at the combine. And I mean, for people that, you know, maybe have coach track or have some type of track background or just like general knowledge, like the better the start, the better the run's going to be. I mean, because it's only 40 yards, right? Because I think that you think of like Usain Bolt was one that was notorious for, like, Usain Bolt never got great starts out of the blocks, but then he was 6'5 and incredibly fast, so he would make up that space. But like, he had a long run to do that, right? 40 yards isn't that much, guys. Like, that's a very short run. So for a player to have a bad start is kind of how I would phrase it at the combine. That puts you in a bad spot, because then you're not going to be able to gain as much momentum early on in the run, and that's going to sacrifice your time, obviously. So I think just the biggest difference from the run that I saw at the pro day, from the videos, and what I saw live at the combine, was I think that his start was just so much better, because I don't think anybody watched Audric on film and was like, that guy's slow. Like, I don't think anybody ever said like he's slow for his size. My dude can move, right? Like, he has pretty solid long speed for a guy as big as he is. 4.58, I would say, is a lot closer to what I would say his game speed is comparative to what a combine speed is. I think it just really comes down to what that start was, man. He looked a lot more comfortable. And sometimes that happens for guys, because Audric was one of the guys that not only did he do a 40 at the combine, he also did the jumps. He also did all the drills. So he's preparing for a lot. There's a lot on his table. So I think that it was just a simple fact of his start was not up to par with what he was probably testing at. And at the last couple of weeks, I'm sure that has been the main emphasis in the combine training for the pro day, was let's make sure that start is great. Cause then we can talk about the drive phase. Then we can talk about the flying 20. Like, then we can work on the rest of the phases of the 40 yard dash. But I really think the start time was the biggest thing. And it was a great time because some people are going to fight back and say, it's a pro day, guys are supposed to run faster. Sure, but no, Notre Dame's notoriously had a slow track. Like, yes, they don't have guys improve, especially by that much, a ton. I maintain, even though the numbers of Notre Dame that put out last year, I maintain that on my watch, Kyren Williams and Kyle Hamilton ran slower at the pro day than they did at their combine. That's from my watch, right? And that's because Notre Dame does not have a fast track. They don't. So Audric Estime going to the pro day, running in the high 4.5s, that's a great number, specifically when you think about the fact that Notre Dame is notorious over the last few years of having a track that is not that great for guys to improve their times, potentially.
I think there's a reason why Audric was the only guy yesterday that ran a 40 again, because of that fact, in my view. And so, Ryan, when I look at what he did yesterday, I think you nailed the part about the start. But why did he have a faster start? I think he was fighting himself in Indy. I mean, you could just see his whole body language, just like there's a resistance to himself, because he was overexerting. And that's something, if you ever watch, like, I know you have, Ryan, but you guys ever watch a 100-meter sprint on TV, and when they show the replay, just how loose they are, they're like, muscles are bouncing up and down, you know, they're breathing, they're not like, you know, like the facial expression of a guy running a 40-yard dash that plays football and the facial expression of a guy running a 100-meter sprint, completely different, right? Because there's an art to sprinting, and a lot of times you can get better just by improving your technique to it. But I also think Audric was he put too much pressure on himself and just fought it too much. And then when the first time happened, it almost kind of like, okay, now he was really, you know, kind of overdoing it. He went and did the second time. I think the other thing too, Ryan, that you and I have talked about is it was probably the most puzzling 40-yard dash time I've ever seen from a Notre Dame skill player. It really was. Like when Kyren Williams ran his 4.65, I wasn't surprised by that. Number one, because that's kind of close to where I thought his speed was, but we had already gotten numbers for him for the vertical jump and the broad jump, which was like 32 inches and 9.8, which, you know, I mean, it's not going to,
they're below average numbers for a running back his size.
Right. So, yeah. Right. So you're not going to look at that and be like, wow, what the heck happened there? You know what I mean? You kind of expect it. And Kyle Hamilton is just a kind of a unique athlete that I wasn't overly surprised he didn't run a 4.3. I was a little surprised he ran a 4.59, but like, I didn't expect him to be a 4.3 guy. Audric running a 4.71 was shocking to me, because number one, I thought he's faster than that on film. And number two, because he had run a 38-inch vertical, and he had had a 10.5 broad. And when you look at the numbers, Ryan, and you and I talked about this, and it was in your article yesterday, that when we look at the tracker for the running backs at the combine, and you look at what the guys did that had the verticals that were like him. It was like Isaac Guerrero, Tyrone Tracy, George Halani, Jalen Wright were the guys that were tied or better than him. And the vertical, the broad jump, same thing. It was Guerrero, Jalen Wright, George Halani, and Keelan Robinson from Texas. Well, if you look at the 40-yard dash for those times, Guerrero ran a 4.33, Jalen Wright ran a 4.38, Keelan Robinson ran a 4.42, and Tyrone Tracy ran a 4.48. So the slowest was George Halani, who ran a 4.52. That was the slowest of all the guys that had similar explosive numbers to Audric. So then you see him all the way down there, almost two full tenths of a second slower than all those other guys. I don't care what the size difference is. That was a weird gap. It was not one you normally see. So the 4.58, to me, the reason I think it matters, because it is, you know, it's a pro day, it's supposed to run fast. The reason it matters is because I think what this does is this eliminates a potential check mark of a concern that people might have about Audric. You know, like, okay, you know, the film says this, but that 40 time is concerning. Now, the 40 time, to me, it erases that 40 time. Now, this 40 time tracks with all his other numbers, and it fits the film. So I think you've eliminated any conversation about, are we concerned if he can get downhill fast enough and through the hole fast enough in the National Football League? And, you know, because like a 20-yard run in college could be a 2-yard run in the NFL because those holes close up so much faster. If you can't get through that hole in a hurry and get past the linebacker level fast enough, then you're not going to be a very good running back. And so for me, that's the big thing that I got from this, Ryan, just looking at the 40 time only, is it removed any potential, what was that about? And when I look at the running backs in this draft class, I other than Trey Benson for the performance he had, I haven't seen anybody like wow anybody with like, wow, this guy's having a great offseason. This guy was a great player. So I think this is something that could help Audric kind of build some momentum as he kind of goes into this final stretch. But it wasn't just the 40 time, Ryan. Audric's workout was really, really impressive. Catching the ball, running, making cuts. That's the other part. Watching the 200, I think he checked in at 222. So it's not like he lost like 15 pounds. He lost like, 4 pounds from the combine, 4 or 5 pounds from the combine.
He actually gained a pound. He only showed up at 221 at the combine.
Even better. Gained a pound, even better. And to see the quickness, the elusiveness, because if he was just training to run in a straight line the last 3 weeks, then maybe his footwork and he's stiff or whatever. But the workout to me mattered even more than the 40, because his agility during those drills, his catching the ball, the moves he made, I think if I'm a coach, I care more, a lot more about how good he looked going through that than I necessarily do about the big improvement in the 40-yard dash time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, that was why I was so disappointed at the combine, because I also thought that Audric had a really good field work at the combine as well. So I thought that it matched, right? He's one of those guys that I would say very simply, like, he is a football player, man. And from a testing perspective, you just wanted boxes checked. That's all it was. Right? This is one more box that just kind of gets checked, because you don't want to be a historical outlier, right? In the draft space. You do not want to be a historical outlier, because, you know, we had talked yesterday, and I put it into a article that I wrote for Irish Breakdown, that there had only been two running backs since the 1999 NFL draft to come into the NFL running 4.7 or worse and having a 1,000-yard season. That was LeGarrette Blount coming out of Oregon and Olandis Gary coming out of Georgia. There was the only two running backs since 1999, right? So 25 years. And out of those two players, they only combined for 3,000-yard seasons. So it's not like they were overly successful. They were kind of a flash in the pan a little bit.
And can we be honest about one of those guys? Olandis Gary was the product of the Mike Shanahan system at the time. Let's be honest. Terrell Davis goes down. Let's throw this Mike Anderson guy in there. He runs for 1,400 yards. You know, he gets hurt. Let's throw Alandis Gary in there. He runs for over 1,000 yards. Tatum, he gets hurt. Tatum, let's get Glenn Portis. I mean, it literally didn't matter who you put in at running back then. They were going to rush for 1,000 yards behind that offensive line. That's also kind of factors into this whole, well, you know, I had a 1,000-yard season. Guys, it didn't matter. It didn't matter who they put. It didn't matter who they put at running back then. That those Denver Broncos teams are going to have 1,000-yard rushers in a 16-game season.
And Alandis Gary also had 1,000 yards as a rookie, and then he was never heard from again pretty much after that. Exactly, so, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, exactly. Obviously, if Aldrick's in that bucket of 4-7 guys that were somewhat successful in the NFL level and those two guys that were the outliers that weren't actually that successful in the NFL when you really think about it, that's not a good place to be, right? Because at the end of the day, NFL scouts and evaluators and decision makers, they're trying to gather as much information to make calculated business decisions, right? That's ultimately what this is. Guy has great film. Guy's also a good, suitable tester. Guy is a really good person off the field. He's a good teammate. You want to check as many boxes as you can. And ultimately, Aldrick Estime had great film in 2023. Great film. Now he goes, now he can say, I ran 4.58 at 220 plus pounds. I had a 10.5 broad. I had a 38-inch vertical. I had really good on-field testing as far as running through drills. Also, I'm a great young man. I have a very vibrant personality. It's just a lot of boxes checked. So I think Aldrick has a very good chance to go top 100 when all is said and done, probably somewhere in the third round, give or take a round, either way. And I think that 40-yard dash is kind of just ease the mind of some people and not have to have kind of a blemish on his resume, which was ultimately what this is.
I think the catching the ball yesterday, I think, helped him as well, too, because that's one of the I don't want to say question marks, Ryan, because as you and I have pointed out, when he's got opportunities to catch the ball, he's done it well. But it's just another opportunity to see kind of him catch the ball, square up, get downfield and all those type of things. He had a really impressive showing because here's the thing that I think is true, Ryan, and I didn't even realize it to the degree in which I did during the season. But when you go back and review his film, you realize how many yards he made last year. Not that he rushed for, because again, it's kind of like the 2017 offensive line in Notre Dame. We said, you know, what I just said about Alandis Gary, what you said about Alandis Gary, by the way, to confirm what Ryan said, after that 1,100 yard season, which he did in 12 games, because I think Mike Anderson got hurt that year, I believe, or something. I forget who got hurt. Somebody got hurt.
I liked Mike Anderson, man. He was tough.
Yeah.
He was
tough. But the next year he ran for 80 yards in one game. The next year he ran for 228.9. The next year he ran for 147 and 13. And then he went to the Lions, ran for 384. And by the age of 28, after 5 years, he was out of the NFL. Right. It's kind of like the 2017 Notre Dame offensive line. With all due respect to Josh Adams and Tony Jones and Dexter Williams and Deion McIntosh, it didn't matter who you put a running back that year. That guy was going to go run the football. Effect. Like, do you remember the Michigan State game in 2017 where they had the number two run defense in the country at the end of the season that year? That was a really good Michigan State team. Tony Jones is already hurt. He got hurt the week before against Boston College late in the game. Josh Adams comes out. He's running the ball relatively well early. He gets hurt. Dexter comes in, catches a TD pass. He's running well. He gets hurt. And in the fourth quarter, they're running Deion McIntosh in there, and they still went for over 180 yards that game. You know what I mean? It's like it didn't matter who you put in a running back. That's not what was happening with Aldrick last year. He was making yards, Ryan. And like, I remember the Clemson game was the one that you really look back at, you as in like the general you, me, and say, I thought the line was playing well in early in that game, watching it live, because I'm watching Aldrick just make these cuts. And then you go back and watch the film and you're like, not that they played bad, but they weren't really playing that well. It was Aldrick was making just ridiculous cuts in that game. Where you're like, how's a guy supposed to cut in that way when you're running that particular play? He just was a man possessed. Then there was a double hurdle. I mean, you're just like, guys, come on. So
I felt the same way about I felt the same way about Stanford. Like, I thought Notre Dame's offensive line played pretty well against Stanford, but like, I thought Aldrick still made
not
a
almost
lot of
400 yards rushing
reps.
Well. Yes, right, you're correct. Right. Like they blocked like a unit that should have rushed for 250 to 275 yards. That's how I would say it. But they rushed for, what was it, Ryan? It was like 386 or something like that. I'm gonna pull it up right now.
Aldrick could have had 300 plus that game if they felt like just giving him the rock. Like he could have easily
381. I was wrong. They ran for 381 that game. And Aldrick had 238. He had 9.5 yards per carry. And part of that was down because he had a couple short touchdown runs. But to your point, they blocked like a unit that was going to have a good day, you know, 275, yeah, maybe 300. But he added probably about 100 yards onto that, just how well he was playing at that point in time. I mean, he was excellent. And so now, with the performance he had yesterday, with the field performance, as you mentioned, he had at the combine, with the testing numbers, I mean, a 220-plus pound guy jumping 38 inches, guys, is pretty impressive.
Yes.
Like, that's a really impressive performance. And so now you can just get rid of that conversation. Now you can just focus on, okay, let's look at the film. And, you know, that's the best part of this for Aldrick. If he can make this draft decision about who has the best film and projection, he's going to find himself being one of the first running backs taken in this draft. Because some of the guys that ran better than him or tested better than him in the explosives are not guys that are going to get drafted before he gets drafted. Mm-hmm. At least not by any team that's smart. Like, if you draft that Isaac Arendo before Aldrick Estime, you just don't deserve to have a job in this profession, in my opinion. I mean, and there's a couple other guys like that. George Helani's a good back, but if you draft him before Aldrick Estime, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. I'm sorry. I can't roll with you on that one.
Yeah. I just feel bad for the future NFL team of Aldrick Estime, because at the rookie show, they're going to have to hear him sing. So,
oh yeah, that's going to be really bad. I love Aldrick, but that's going to be really bad.
Well, at the combine, he told media though that he thought he was a great singer, and I was like, "You do you, brother. You do you."
You gotta love the confidence there, Ryan. A couple other Aldrick questions before we move on to other topics, Ryan. This is draft related, so I'll read this one so you can answer it. This is from Rob Osgood. He goes, where do you think Aldrick Estime will go in the draft and what team? So obviously you can't predict the team. We don't know. So I'll ask you a little different way, Ryan. Where do you think he'll go? What's your range? And what are some teams you have your eye on as potentially, some of the more would make sense landing spots for you, for him?
I said a little bit ago, so I'll just reiterate it. I think third round for Aldrick, give or take a round. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that someone late second round wants to take a plunge at Aldrick Estime. I also wouldn't be shocked if he fell to early day three, so he's a fourth rounder. So I'll say third round, give or take a round either way. Cincinnati Bengals were a team that apparently were taking a deep look at Aldrick yesterday. I think that's very interesting. They lost Joe Mixon this offseason. They have Chase Brown, who was at Illinois as a running back, already in the room, but he's a little bit more of the smaller change of pace back. So I think having a player like Aldrick to go with a Chase Brown for the Bengals moving forward would be a very interesting fit. I think that the Dallas Cowboys, although I know a lot of people are Dallas Cowboys haters in this chat because of Sean Steyers, right? I think the Cowboys are a very interesting one because they lost Tony Pollard this offseason. They were inconsistent running the ball just in general last year. And I think that when they have a physical element like they did with Zeke for a couple years there, I think that would be a tremendous fit. One thing that I thought was interesting, which I hadn't really thought about, was the Philadelphia Eagles apparently were giving him a lot of attention yesterday. And they have Saquon Barkley, but investing in a third to fourth round running back with Saquon Barkley's injury history is a interesting fit. It's an interesting fit because right now after them, all they have is, because obviously they lost DeAndre Swift this offseason, all they have is Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott after a Saquon. So having some insurance in case Saquon does get banged up at some point, Philadelphia Eagles are kind of an interesting one. And the other one that I heard, and this is more of like a fourth round range, but I heard the San Francisco 49ers have been giving him a lot of attention. And I think immediately you say, well, they have Christian McCaffrey. Why would they do that, right? But they also, Christian McCaffrey has an injury history, and they don't really have a back outside. I mean, they've had Elijah Mitchell, who's been okay, but has also been really banged up in his NFL career as well, coming out of Louisiana Lafayette. So I think having Aldrick Estime as a change of pace back to a couple of those premier running backs would be super interesting. But teams that need a running back in this draft mentions the Dallas Cowboys, mentioned Cincinnati Bengals. I would also mention the Los Angeles Chargers, who lost Austin Eckler this offseason as well.
You say something about the San Francisco 49ers, Ryan.
Yes.
That is a scary thought, to think of Aldrick Estime running behind that group. And I think you nailed something too. Christian McCaffrey's a star. I mean, he was the best running back in the NFL last year, according to a lot of people, right? 1,400 yards, 1,459 rushing, 14 touchdowns, had 564 receiving yards. So you're talking about a guy that had over 2,000 yards of offense and only played 16 games. I mean, he didn't play the 17th game. But here's the reality of it. In the last 5 years, he's had one season where he played more than 11 games. And he's at that age. He'll be 28 next year, where the 49ers are thinking, what's more important? You know, getting him enough carries to go win a rushing title and an MVP, or going through a season, getting into the playoff, having home field advantage, and then winning a Super Bowl. If you can go out and get a third round back, like an Audric Estime, to take some of the workload off of him, so that way he's more fresh in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, because the other thing too is, you get into the postseason with a play caller and designer like him, don't be shocked if you see some 21 personnel stuff from the 49ers with a guy like Audric, who can run the ball, and you got some RPO stuff to Christian, or you could do some different, you know, motion type of stuff, or have Audric lead block for him, mm-hmm. you know. So you there's a lot that a guy like Kyle Shanahan could do with a player like Audric Estime to keep some of that burden off of Christian McCaffrey.
The McCaffrey conversation also reminds me that another team that was giving him attention was the Carolina Panthers, who obviously need a running back very desperately, right? Like, they gave Miles Sanders a contract last offseason from the Eagles, but he did awful this past year. So they need to figure out a run game. And that made me think of, you know, it's a way for a young Bryce Young to take a nice jump as a second-year player. RPO game, maybe. Give him some inside zone work and then making him a passer off of the run-pass option. So I think that Carolina Panthers are another team that I would say have interest in Audric Estime and would be a potentially good fit for him as well.
All right, so that's going to do it for Audric Estime conversation, Ryan. But I thought we definitely wanted to spend some time on that. And, you know, it was a good day for Audric. There's no doubt about it. Very good day for Audric.